Welcome to the Student Ministries Podcast. I am Kate Kim, the Discipleship Coordinator for Watershed, the high school ministry of Perimeter Church. And today we have two of our discipleship group leaders with us. We are going to talk, just have a kind of candid conversation about what it looks like to lead students right now. We're going to hear about their experience leading and who has had made an influence in their own lives and how that has kind of influenced them to serve today. So we'll just jump right in. I'll let Kristen and Matt introduce themselves. Kristen, would you like to go first?
Sure. So my name is Kristen Reeves, and I currently actually am on staff and with Perimeter as the Kids Rock Preschool Ministry Coordinator. So I work downstairs with the itty bitties now. I have served with a leader with Watershed and students. I just finished my first year, but I have probably led students volunteer wise. This is probably my third or fourth year as a volunteer. And then I have served as full-time staff at two different churches with student ministries, handling kind of girls' discipleship, girls' ministry. And I also served for 3 years with as a character coach and a chaplain through FCA with a varsity volleyball team in Rome, Georgia.
Very cool. Wow. Matt, what about you?
My name is Matt. I work at Waffle House. I am the vice president of technical services over there for 20 years now. I started ministry at Perimeter Church with high school students, originally by going on Go Journeys. And that was probably 12 or 13 years ago. And I've been leading discipleship groups coming up on 9 years now. I just finished my ninth year with the high schools.
Awesome. So y'all both collectively have a lot of experience working with high school students. What originally motivated you to serve this demographic?
Who do you want? I don't know.
Kristen, you can go
first.
Sure.
Yeah. High school ministry when I was in high school was exceptionally important to my faith and to when it became just serious for me and when my faith became real and something that I kind of took ownership of. And I loved my time in student ministry. And it was just monumental to who I was. And so for me, it was like the only choice. Like I wanted to always lead students, and I was a student leader. So in my youth group, when you were a junior and a senior, you could lead middle schoolers. So I had that kind of option, and I'd done that. And I just loved kind of pouring into those that were younger than me. And it was such a fun age. And such an important age, I think, for that difference to be made and that impression. And it can hook there in those years. And so I think, you know, I went into it as a career when I graduated college and jumped straight into it full time. And even when I took kind of a couple years off between coming off staff with students to then becoming a volunteer again, there's just something about it that I like couldn't let go of, that I like really missed and really loved just about it. And the bonds you make with the kids and the growth you get to see and just being in life with them is really something I never kind of could see myself not doing. So
That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess, what was the original question?
What led you to lead high school students?
So I didn't get involved in discipleship really until my 20s. And
as a student or
no, just
personally?
Just like in an actual physical discipleship group. Going through high school ministry was fun, but there was really no curriculum or teaching that was for small groups. Mm-hmm. And I've got a part of a church plant in my 20s, and that was really my first exposure to like a tight core group or a Bible study group. And so once the church plant went away and I came over here at Perimeter, I got involved in the 20s ministry, and someone pulled me aside and was like, hey, I really want you to be a part of my discipleship group. And that was really what started me even understanding what a discipleship group was. And through those years in the discipleship group, I also realized that I had a really good rapport with high school students because I was volunteering in other ministries to try to feel, what would I do after my discipleship group? And I just seemed to have a currency with students. Like, just they valued my input, and I could communicate in their language, and we had fun together. And so that really is what kickstarted my involvement in high school ministry, was this, like, getting my feet wet in certain areas and realizing this is really good. And I really feel like God's calling me in this direction.
That's awesome. And that's what I love about talking with both of you, you know, because you work in tech for Waffle House, and Kristen, you work, you know, in children's ministry, and, you know, just have different backgrounds and experiences, and yet both connect to students in such a cool and tangible way. And I've seen the fruit of your labor and the fruit of how you've poured into students, which is really cool. Do you know, is there anyone in your life that really influenced you when you were in high school?
Yeah, I think, you know, I can pinpoint it down to when I was in high school. It was my youth pastor at the time, Aaron Young, who's now a senior pastor at a church in Suwannee. So he's still local. And he based his whole youth group in what the verse that was their core verse was, 1 Timothy 4:12. And it was, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for other believers in speech and impurity." And that was monumental. I mean, it was just groundbreaking for us as students, because he didn't just kind of put that verse on it, but he like instilled that in us, especially our student leaders as we got older. And it was that our faith mattered, our faith was important, and we could be leaders even at 17. And we did. He left kind of our youth group beginning of my senior year to start a church, and it was an unexpected, it was kind of a messy situation in the moment. And he came to us like 17. We were his, you know, student leaders at the time. We were all seniors. And he said, "I want to start a church and I want you guys to do it with me." And I remember that was really the first time somebody had seen take 1 Timothy 4:12 and to bring it to life, that he was looking at a group of 17 and 18 year old kids and going, "You can plan a church with me. This is what I want us to do." And we did. And it was, you know, Rising Church is still in Suwannee. It's been there since, you know, early 2012 when we, you know, were part of seeing kind of that ground up. And so I think looking back at, you know, him as a youth pastor, but just the leaders as well that were under him, they saw each student as that verse and they never looked down on us and they pushed us to be examples. And it just put weight behind our faith. You know, it wasn't, "Oh, this is something kind of cute that you're, you know, you're chasing in high school," or, you know, "you're coming after it," but it was that we could be movers and shakers and changers. And I know, I think out of my senior class that walked with, just through all of that, I think like there was about 18 of us probably. And I think 7 to 9 of us are now in full-time ministry anywhere from, you know, I'm here at Perimeter. I know one of them's a worship leader for Passion in DC. And just, it was really cool to see what he planted in us and how it really like just exploded, in that group, you know, and how important it was, I think, for an adult to look at us and say, "Your faith matters at 17 and you can lead those around you," and kind of what path it's taken for all of us.
That's awesome.
That is cool. Yeah, I'm thinking like there's two individuals who poured a lot into my life when I was a teenager. And one would be my father, who made an effort to make it to every extracurricular activity that me and my brothers had at school, like every soccer game, showing up, being present, embarrassing us, and just really caring about being around us during those formative years and really pouring into us and valuing the things we were doing. So the second person who really poured into my life was my youth pastor at high school. He really let us drive what we wanted the group to be and challenged us on not just make it about fun, also make it about mission and a target. So that was really formative in trying to direct the energy that we as students had into a ministry focused avenue that we chose, but it's kind of like he was trying to guide us to that focus and to that point. And you know, one of the things I think was really foundational was that ultimately ended up in a mission trip to Costa Rica when I was in high school. So that was a really formative time going on that trip. And there was a lot of students going on that trip. I cannot believe we had that many students going on that trip. But it was a huge trip. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of like, you can be the church as you go out and do something for somebody. So it was pretty cool.
That's really encouraging to hear. I mean, just to see that the impact of the way that y'all were discipled when you were little, whether that was by your youth pastor or by your parents or by discipleship leaders, but that clearly has impacted you to do the same today, and it continues, you know. Mm-hmm. The health of the church is really kind of dependent on people pouring into the next generation, you know, and like I look back and there wasn't a distinct, I grew up in a small town, you know, so we didn't have quite the resources that you do at Perimeter. But we did have, you know, volunteers who showed up every week to be with us. Mm-hmm. And there was one lady who she would just host sleepovers for my friends and I. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't anything that spiritual about what she did. I knew and I saw her worship God, and I knew she loved him very much. And she had a family of her own, but she would just invite us in and let us stay up late. And, you know, she cooked us lots of yummy food and junk food. And but those are just such rich memories. And now as an adult, like looking back, like when you're in high school, you're like, oh yeah, like this is awesome. This is so fun. This is what we do. But, you know, you become an adult and you're like, wow, that was a sacrifice, like yeah, to let high school students like take over your house on the weekend and staying up yeah, to just cook them food. Like that takes time and yeah, energy when at the end of the week, you just want to veg. And so that has actually impacted me more now, like thinking about, okay, how do I want to love my girls? How do I want to love the girls in my group and just be there for them, just be a safe space for them right now when it seems like it's hard to find those safe spaces where they can just be themselves, just be high school students in a place where they're not being pressured to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, now so, as yeah, I reflect back on, you know, my dad showing up at every extracurricular activity, I'm like, I don't know how he budgeted that time to do that, yeah, like with a full-time job. It's just... And then I was embarrassed. Now I'm astonished because I don't know how he was able to achieve that. Right. But I'm grateful that he did achieve that.
Right. I think the most impactful things I look back now to when I was a student were the little things. Like, you know, it's the little things that leaders did that it may not have been the moment they were sitting over with me with scripture, you know, having this groundbreaking, you know, gospel moment with me. But it was letting me sit at their dining room table, you know, every Tuesday afternoon when a boy broke my heart and, yeah, you know, like things happened and I was sad over, you know, a boy I should have never liked in the first place, but she let me sat there and just cry, you know, and be upset right, over him, or showing up to stuff, or, you know, being on a retreat and like having, I know, a leader that like was always up to helping us prank the boys, like always, like she was always going to be game for that. And it was funny to think back that those are the leaders I see in my mind's eye when I think of those years of going, man, they cared and they were there and they were human with us and they, you know, jumped in without, you know, a second thought and just were present. And that sometimes went miles longer than some of the like deep, you know, in the word moments, which we had those and they were huge and they did guide me deeper into the word. But they also were an adult that would just sit down and be a teenager with me and not have any kind of guidelines or restraints on what I needed to be in that moment. And it was awesome.
Absolutely. And that's freeing, right? Because sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm not equipped to be a leader, mm-hmm, or how are they going to relate to me? You know, I'm so much older, you know, but yet they really just need people that they can be safe with and who want to listen and who want to show up. So that's really cool to hear y'all share that. What have you learned in your time serving students? What is something that has worked or maybe something that hasn't worked and you've learned from that?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I guess I'll start. I learned that there's not one thing that you can do that's like guaranteed to work, I guess I should say. And I learned over the years that I've been with students to develop new ways to connect with them. And in group settings and even out of group settings, but within group settings specifically, like what's worked, it's like, it's different for every year I've been with the students. I try things that have worked in the past and I try to develop new systems or new ways of connecting over time. It's like, For sometimes it was, hey, let's throw a frisbee or let's kick a soccer ball. For some time, for some of the students, it's let's start out the session this way with everyone sharing what happened this week. For some students, it's forcing them, or not forcing them. That's, you don't force your students. Challenging your students. You challenge your students to share the gospel in 3 minutes in a way that would connect with their peers. And don't use any biblical terms. Like, do it in the Marvel universe. Okay, how do you see Jesus in the Marvel universe? And how do you tell a friend that, you know, Jesus is this way, just like in this movie or this show or this, like, context that is relevant to students without using redemption, without using, you know, these high church terms that most students are going to be like, I have no idea what you just said, but I'll just nod my head and say, okay, yeah, I'm not interested. So it's there's not been one thing. It's been like Randy Pope would say when he's talking about sharing the gospel with people. You find things that are tools that you put in your tool belt, and you use them at the appropriate time with whoever you're talking to. And I feel that's what with students is like. I've seen things modeled to me, and I've just figured out things on my own, and I've heard what people said on stage, and I've just absorbed it all and like tried it and see what stuck. And eventually you find something that might stick with the group, and that'll carry you longer term through that group.
Yeah, I think I would agree, where I've had multiple groups of ninth grade girls, and the same, you know, I can come in 1 year and something will work super well and they'll super respond to it, and you'll have a group 2 years later of the same age, and what you worked then will fall flat, and you'll be like, yep. Okay, you know, and it's like the same age group, same this, and it just doesn't, you know, so you can't, there's no cookie cutter model that'll work every year. I know something I've found that works, I think, phenomenally with high school kids is in talking, is whenever I try to talk to a student or have that one-on-one conversation, whether it's a retreat or even here at the church, when something's wrong and a student doesn't know how to share, is in that moment of, I don't know if I want to open up, or I don't know if I'm ready, I'm there to like confide, or whatever, you know, that happens, is to always find a position to talk to them when I'm not looking them in the eye. You know, so it's always, I say, hey, let's go for a walk. And let's, you know, we walk around the, you know, campsite that we're in a retreat, or, you know, even a few weeks ago, it was a student, I were walking, you know, through the atrium, and I could tell she was having a really tough time, and I pulled her aside and we sat on a bench. So I like, she could not look me in the eye. She could look completely. And I, you know, that comes from, my mom did that when I was a teenager, which now I look back and I'm like, oh, she was doing that to me. And I thought I had to, you know, she'd always have hard conversations with me in the car when I was in the front seat, because it was that, it takes that pressure off of them having to look you in the eye, right. Which I think is something as adults, it's often to be like, oh, well, you want to go have coffee with them and sit and have that hard conversation. You know, that's easy for us as adults to look somebody in the eye at times and having those conversations, even with a trusted, you know, discipleship leader. But with students, they're not there yet. They're just not there. And so I find whatever way I can, let's go for a walk. Let's sit on a bench. Let's go for, you know, a drive, or whatever it is to kind of, I know that's one tool that I've found that is pretty hits the ball every time usually. I mean, some of the students won't, you know, open up, and that's that. But I think that's a really like safe context I have found that's just really worked in conversing with students and, you know, giving them the freedom to share and them not, you know, what they're willing, I think, to open up and share when they don't have to look you in the eye, I think is surprising what'll come out.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I've done that too. So it definitely works.
And I think with students, I've learned from doing it, I think, you know, Matt's the same way. We've done it for years, and you probably would agree with this, but it's anytime you think you've seen the craziest thing a student will have to walk through in their life, or the hardest thing, you know, going, man, that was a doozy, of just what they're walking through, family situations or, you know, school situations, there's always something that'll top it. There will always be something as a leader that you've never seen at all. You've never seen it all, you know, and I think 10 years into it, you know, whatever, you know, however many years you have, especially as culture changes, there will always be something that you go, oh, I don't know what to do here. Like, I don't know how to handle, you know, I don't know how to hold this one. Yeah. And so I think that's the other thing as a leader is, you know, have the tools, but know you're building a house, different house every time. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what ground you're building it on. And you're going to find a new creature or a new, you know, new environment that you're just like, man, I don't know how to handle that. And that's okay. And I think it's having that forgiveness and yourself, and, you know, where pushes us as leaders back to Christ of going, you know, it's like the world's broken. And mm-hmm. every time it turns around, in times, I think with students, it's as culture changes, as social media, as mental health, all of that picks up.
Yep.
It's just, I feel like, you know, every time you can get daunted, yeah. but I think every time you turn around going, oh my gosh, yeah. how is it worse? You know, how is this worse? You know, how is this, they're going through what? You know, that kind of thing. And I think it's being able as a leader to kind of let go and go, okay, I'm never, you know, I'm always going to be surprised at something, and but our God never is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it takes a lot of patience as working with high school students, and not because they're so challenging to work with, but because it does take a little bit longer to see the fruit of your labor. And like y'all said, like it changes from year to year, you know, and it changes from student to student. So it just takes patience. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a high school student, I mean, I connect with right away, mm-hmm. you know, and there might be another one. It takes me 3 years. And then you really start to see some fruit from that labor, but you don't think you are. You're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, cool. Glad I spent that much time investing in this person. But, you know, so it just takes patience. And I think you both mentioned this, but a real reliance on God mm-hmm. to know that he's the one kind of doing that work and trusting that our labor is not in vain as we walk with these students. And it takes humility to go, hey, I don't know. I might be doing this wrong. You tell me. And really listening to them on what it is. Yes, we as leaders need to guide, and we need to be the disciplers. So we need to be the ones who, you know, we do have years on us that hopefully has granted us some wisdom. So there are some times when we have to say, okay, like, I'm going to challenge you on this. But there are times where we need to listen and hear, what is it that you need right now? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that you're having a hard time articulating? What is it that, because a lot of times students just don't even know how to express what they need or feel. And so just getting on their level and being patient and walking with them in that is really important. Mm-hmm. Do you have a story of celebration from like the time you've served with students, maybe a way that you've seen God just tangibly work? It could be an individual student. It could be your group as a whole, or maybe even a way he's worked in your own life.
I think the coolest story that I experienced was a group that I had for 3 years I co-led with someone, with Kurt. And that first year was really hard because when Kurt was there and I was there, everyone showed up and was there. When Kurt didn't make it and I was there, attendance was really bad. And I would have one student and the rest would be just wandering around the church and not caring about showing up. And so that was my first year with them. And then my second year, they bought in, like there was more attendance. When I was the only one leading, they were still there. And the group got tighter and tighter as a result with each other. And eventually we went on a discipleship trip, like a go journey trip together to Guatemala. And one student didn't want to go because he was thinking, oh, that's not cool. Because he wasn't, you know, quite part of the tight core. But the rest of us went on this trip and it was so impactful. And the students came back so changed that the one who was like, that's not cool, he realized, oh, wait, I should have been there because y'all are changed and y'all are different as a result of going. And so that senior year with him, like, he really got serious with God at that point, even though he didn't go on the trip, which is so cool. Like, he didn't go on the trip, but he realized that he missed something by not going on the trip. And so that got him more bought into conversations with the other students that were on the trip, conversations with me about faith issues. And so that was really cool where the group grew and changed, and not everyone moved at the same pace, but God brought everyone together to him in the end. And not because of, you know, some great thing we ended up doing, but because God's involvement in each one of the students' lives and my life as well, just trying to, me persevering, them coming together, and then them pulling their other friend up as well. It was just really, a really cool, like, 3-year experience that didn't look good, but ended up with some really good results and some really good fruit in the end for myself and the students involved as well.
I think for me, one of my most just fruitful in a different way, but just most fulfilling time I think I had was when I served as the chaplain for Coosa High School, in the volleyball team. And I was, you know, brought on cause I was working full time in students, at a church, and the coach kind of knew, and, you know, they knew of me. And, I had actually was nannying a girl that was on JV, and I had gone in place of her mom to take pictures at one of their, you know, events just so the mom could see it. And the coach kind of came up and was like, "Hey, you work for this church, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "Would you want to come and, you know, be a, you know," they used to call them chaplains. I think it's character coach now. officially, I think they've changed the phrasing with FCA. And I was like, "Sure." And so I, you know, went officially through FCA, and I, you know, came into a public school. These girls didn't know me at all. And I was, you know, showed up first day in the locker room to do a devotion. And, you know, I had a few weeks of just kind of doing devotions that I had written out and, you know, kind of done a little like message for them. And I just, it felt really like I was getting blank stares back. And I was like, okay. And we were heading up to like our first, one of our first tournaments. And, you know, I had been really focusing in on them with just Jesus's ministry and on, you know, more specifically when, you know, Jesus was baptized and how, you know, when, you know, like, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And just that picture of saying before Jesus did anything in his ministry, his father was pleased with him. And what can that look like on a sports field, like, on a court or a field, of saying, you know, before you even walk out on there, you know, whatever pressure you have, you're accepted and he loves you. And, you know, I've been doing kind of variations of that devotion, like leading up to this tournament. And, you know, and I just kind of challenged them to say, guys, I want you, you know, if it's a moment before you, you know, you serve a ball or whatever it is, just to look down. I want you just to see that word accepted and that he loves you. And I had said that, and I, you know, and I had done that devotion the day before their tournament, and I'm, you know, we're walking out. I was discouraged. I just felt like, okay, I'm not connecting. And I usually connect to teenage girls pretty well. And I, you know, and the girls are like late coming out of the locker room, and the coach is like, "Can you go get them for me?" And so I'm running back there and I'm like, "Girls, what are you doing?" And they were all circled up and they were writing the word accepted on each other's hands. And they said they were like, "Well, no, we wanted to," they had like heard it from the day, and they said, "We wanted to have that physical thing." And it was something that they ended up carrying with them for the next 3 years. And we did, it was a wonderful run. We won 3 state championships in a row, which doesn't happen often. So that was a really sweet 3 years as well. But I think that was something that I was nervous and terrified in showing up in the first day, of wanting these girls to know this and them carrying that, of them having that written on their hands pretty much all 3 years until championship games, they wouldn't let them write on it for like regulations. But, you know, and I think it even came down to that last year that I was with them, and it was our third state championship. And, you know, each year was up and down because it was different girls, a different captain, like every year was a different dynamic. But it was that third year, and it was one of the harder ones, you know, that I was like, I don't know if I'm connecting. And I kind of, you know, and we had won state and we're all, you know, celebrating, and the girls just like on in front of, you know, huge crowd, they circle up on the court and in the middle of the celebration. And like, I was doing something else. I don't know where I was looking. And they just like, "Kristen, will you pray?" And in front of the whole thing, they all kneeled in a circle, you know, and it was just in the midst of, you know, 3 state championships in a row, which is huge. And they had every reason to, you know, to have ego and to have pride and to have that big celebratory moment. They wanted to kneel before him. And I think it was just it was such a celebration moment for me just to see, I think, the legacy these girls carried. And, you know, it was an up and down 3 years. And just to see them, you know, just, I have so many moments from those 3 years of seeing what God can do to kind of break down and, you know, what it can look like, just to take the gospel like into a public school, you know, into a sports setting and, you know, all that kind of thing. And it was awesome. Yeah.
I love that both of your stories, you know, it took kind of some time, and maybe what you didn't think was success at first, and then you saw the fruit of how God was working, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one more question as we wrap up. You've already given lots of great advice just through the stories that you've told, but if you were to give either one resource or like a book, podcast, a Bible verse, or just a simple piece of advice to a new leader coming in, what would you tell them?
I think I would say, don't underestimate your students' ability to dive straight into scripture. I found in my years of being a student in student ministry and even working on staff, I was guilty of this. And even as being a volunteer leader, I think I want to underestimate my students and go, well, you know, they probably want more topical. You know, they probably want to stick kind of with one verse in a, you know, they want to stay, well, they want, you know, they'd rather have us find, you know, books or whatnot that fit to what they're going through. And I think anytime I've challenged myself, because I think I realized when I graduated high school, that is kind of how my leaders had taught me, even in D groups and stuff. It was, hey, let's do this book. And it was sort of, they were all pretty topical, which totally I understood for high school, you know, and it makes sense. But I think I got to college and I went, well, I don't know how to open up a book of the Bible and just read it from the beginning to the end and study that. I don't know how to do that. And I think I started, it was in my second year of full-time ministry, going, well, you know, I want to try to teach kids how to just open the Bible and read it, you know, and how can they do that? And, you know, and I know anytime I've led that, it's always been like, oh man, can they do it? Can this group do it? And even the most kind of wild and rambunctious groups that I've had of girls that, you know, want to talk about boys or, you know, they seem, or they want to talk about Instagram or any of that, you know, is I've had such rewarding things where I've let them pick a book of the Bible. I say, okay, have you ever wanted to read? Do you want to do Old Testament? Do you want to do women in the Bible? Like, tell me, you know, I'll let you choose. And I, you know, walk them through it and I have them read it on their own silently. And then we read it out loud to each other and then we just discuss. And it's a really something that I think at times we think students won't want that or it won't, you know, well, I don't know if all of Ephesians is going to apply to what they're going through. But I think giving the students that ability to show themselves, they can go through a whole book of the Bible that they never thought they could. And they can pull stuff out of it. And I think I would just encourage leaders, use the Bible more when you, you know, and sometimes books less. And I think, or find a way in your year of leading them to say, no, I'm going to take, you know, 8 weeks of my year and we're going to go through Philippians and we're going to go chapter by chapter and study a book. Because then even at the end, it's this really cool celebratory moment where a lot of the kids go, oh my gosh, I've never read a book of the Bible. Like, that's really cool. Like, I studied a whole book. And, you know, how many ways I think God guides and pulls things out of those, you know, of the grand scheme of that book that just applies to them. And they, you know, get to see a whole book in context. So I think that would be probably my encouragement and just challenge to leaders is to let students study full books of the Bible and just be surprised as I think what God can do and what they're able to kind of comprehend and take in and to learn from.
I haven't used this one resource that I'm thinking of, which is something I learned in my discipleship group when I started was verse analysis, because that ties really in with studying the word. And just trying to go through one verse and study it, figure out the context, apply it to your life kind of routine. I haven't had the opportunity to use that in any of my groups one-on-one or with the groups at all, because I've avoided feeling the group feeling like homework. It's hard unless the students are really brought in to, at least with the boys, to just get them excited about scripture. But the one
girls
thing
are the same, just so you know. They don't want to do
the one the one thing I did find that was really impactful to the group was that sharing the gospel. Like you're in the church for how long? You know the gospel, you've heard it. Now you repeat it. And just getting them comfortable with repeating it in a safe group setting was just fun, engaging, and it got them primed to be like, I can do this. Like, I've done this before in my group a dozen times now, so I don't have a problem doing it with someone who's a friend of mine. So I think that's one really good challenging thing that I've found, and I've tried to put challenge every group with it, is share the gospel in 3 minutes. That would be relative to a friend or in some context that is meaningful. And I mean, it's impactful to them, I can tell, because sometimes they get excited about it. Sometimes they're just like, I don't know how the gospel translates to that context. And it's like, it's a challenging thing to make them figure it out. Sometimes we like came up with some kind of theoretical, I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was Batman. Like, share the gospel in the context of the movie Batman. And we couldn't come up with a good story because that movie's pretty dark. So we couldn't come up with too much of a good redemption story. But, I mean, it was like, it's okay to like fail a challenge too and be like, you can't figure it out all the time. And so, you know, you move on to something else. So it's been impactful in my group settings. And I can't stand to read. So I tend to read the gospel. I read the Bible, and I don't write reading other books. So I can't really recommend a book resource other than the Bible, which is a really good resource.
I mean, I think book wise, I know I did kind of go the very leader answer of saying the Bible.
Yeah.
I think I do read a lot, but I think a book for girls, even if it's not to walk your students through them, but to walk even yourself through, is The Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst. I think I said that last name right. It's monumental for how it walks through insecurity and what's that root of it. And, you know, it is definitely written for a female, but I know I've read it. I read it about once a year. I mean, it's one even in my life that when I feel rocky and get into those moments, I'll go back and read it. And I have this torn up copy. And I know even like my dad read it, my mom, you know, it was something that did, you know, I had males, and it's definitely written for females, but it's one that I would encourage just to give language for leader, female leaders behind, because I think insecurity is at an all-time high for girls with, I mean, you know, the social media is so different even from, you know, any of us leaders, I don't think ever have dealt with, even if we had social media, like I had it started to, I mean, that's where I make my girls laugh that like Snapchat wasn't invented when I was in high school, you know, or like the, you know, Instagram was a thing when I was a senior, maybe, you know, it was like very new or nobody cared. And so I think we're all in that uncharted territory of going, okay. I mean, I took pictures and posted them even in college, but it wasn't to this level. It was never to this. Where even I think, you know, I have that of going, well, yeah, I used to, you know, I've struggled with Instagram and insecurity, but I've never seen it to the, you know, to the like heightened level they do. So I think that's a book that I go back to a lot for, you know, understanding and just stories she uses and language and things to be able to understand the girls. And I think to meet them in a really intelligent, empathetic way of exactly where they're at when we don't understand the Instagram and the TikTok, you know, all of that. We do not understand that. And I think it'll be hard for us really to ever fully immersively, because even, you know, that kind of, because we lived most of our lives without it and they've lived their whole lives with it. You know, they've never known it to not be present. So that's a really good one, I think, to kind of meet them there as best we can.
Very cool. Also, if nothing else fails, bring food.
Yes. That truthfully is the biggest thing. I think if there's anything as a leader, I go food. There's no better way to get a student. Even if you don't think a student likes you, it's just because you didn't bring snacks. I guarantee that'll fix it. Yes. It'll fix it. They go pretty much anywhere that there's food.
Yeah. Yes. I did that for a solid year. I brought snacks and drinks every time. And yeah, that got them to show up.
Yeah.
So yeah,
at least it bribery gets doesn't hurt at all. It takes care of their physical needs. Yeah. Then you can take care of their spiritual needs.
That's also the group that I was doing a lot of sports activities with. So I thought, I was like, well, they need hydration if they're going to be outside playing. So
there you go.
And it worked really well. Having fun and having snacks, and then small time to talk.
And then tell them the gospel.
Yeah. Share the gospel now. Go.
Yep. You got to just give them food. Look at prom pictures for a bit. You know, just let things. Yeah. You know, let them be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another one I think I found, especially this year, is so many areas of their lives right now, they don't get to be kids. And the pressure for college has started faster. I mean, I have ninth grade girls and they're just utterly stressed about college. And I like college was in my mind's eye in ninth grade, but not I have to take all these courses to get to what I need. You know, I think it's. And then they've, you know, their social media is not letting them be kids anymore. Their sports schedules are not letting them be kids. And so there's just when any moment that you can, let them be kids. I mean, we laugh, me and my co-leader this year, our girls love fart noises. And I love that. I'm going to out them on a podcast about it because then I think they deserve it. Is they love fart noises. It's ninth grade girls. And, you know, that's every night at a retreat, they spend about 30 to 40 minutes making fart noises and playing a playlist on Spotify of fart noises. And, you know, I think as leaders, we were like, seriously, at first, I mean, like, what's happening? But I think the farther into the year it got, I went, let them be kids. Let them giggle and laugh and blame farts on each other and just let it happen for like, 45, because they don't get to do that very often, or it is being told like, stop it. That's, you know, and I just, so I think letting them be kids and however that manifests, I'm sorry if it's fart noises, especially as girls, but it, you know, that it'll surprise you. But I think letting them ride that can be just the joy it brings them, and just giving them, even if it's that 45 minutes of, you know, that kind of appropriate, semi-appropriate, you know, fun to be kids, because they really, in so many contexts, I think nowadays where they're supposed to be kids, they're not.
Yeah. And chose, I mean, to tag on to that, just make your group time not feel like a classroom session. Because they sit in that all day long. So don't just make it another classroom session. Let them have fun. Do something different, because they sit in class all day.
Yeah.
So don't do that. It's okay if you do, but that's not gonna let them have fun and be kids.
Right. And don't be so much about your agenda or what it is that you're trying to get across that you miss really seeing and hearing from them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I like Perimeter's model that you like to give us as best you can, a co-leader. Because I've served in ministries or ran ministries where we didn't, you know, it was a lot of like single leaders. And I think it's been so life-giving to have someone in it with me this year, you know, and it being sometimes, you know, for me, it's one of my best friends. So that's kind of fun, is that, you know, when hard stuff's come up with students, or we're like frustrated that none of them are showing up, like you have another person there to like walk through it with you, and you're not, you know, it's not just that you're surrounded by the staff, but you have someone kind of in that trench with you. And even the personalities, it gives a chance for, you know, I know some of our girls, they bond with me better, and some they totally bond with her better, you know, and it's just the personality differences. It gives kind of that students an even more chance, I think, to be seen and to be loved in a way that their heart needs it, that I know I'm not, you know, the cup of tea for every student, and that's fine. So I think finding for other leaders is find a co-leader, you know, and put that into your model of letting there be, you know, and it's not just to have, you know, more students that you can have in a group, but I think supporting yourself as a leader to have another person in it with you can kind of make the whole, you know, just the whole world be a little bit brighter and different when you're heading into it.
Yeah.
That's true. Cause I had a co-leader for the first 4 years. And so that's, I probably would not be the discipleship group leader I am without having someone else alongside me who could pick up or engage in ways I couldn't.
Well, thank y'all so much taking the time to have this conversation and just the amount of time that y'all have invested in our students. It's really been fun to see and to hear just all of your input and wisdom on how to lead students. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
The Perimeter Student Ministries Podcast with Kate Kim is an 8-week podcast released every Monday through the end of May. For more info, please visit our site at perimeter.org/students.